The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Thank you for joining us today, and this has been a busy week in terms of news and updates on the national and local statistics with regard to real estate, whether it's mortgage rates or whether it's monitoring the level of multifamily distress in the loan market. There's quite a bit of it. I wouldn't call it all distressful, but there's approximately $650 to $700 billion in three-year bridge debt, for the most part, that needs to be refinanced here in the next 12 months or so, maybe 12 to 18 months. And that's creating opportunities. And the Fed rate cut has opened, while it hasn't done a whole lot for mortgage rates, single family or residential, it's opened some unique windows of opportunity, as the title of our first article we're going to discuss this week. It's a unique window of opportunity for investors. And just the title caught my attention because, as we've said many times, there's people making money no matter what's going on in the market. Up, down, sideways, somebody's making money because they've identified the uniqueness of a particular asset. And further, and this is critical, they've determined that 2 plus 2 in their case, with their unique facts and circumstances, 2 plus 2 does not equal 4. It equals 5 or 6 or 9. And those synergies are what make the world go round for investors, and especially in real estate. And, you know, I've got example after example where a property that might have been purchased in the $2 million range, as an example, is worth $8 million to somebody else because they know a usage for that asset that produces a much higher value. And that's what we're all looking at and looking for. And that's the intrigue, I guess, we have, along with the fact that, hey, we're looking for cash flow. We're not just looking for intrigue. But anyway, so as you know, we at the beginning of each show, we remind you that we are not providing legal, accounting, tax, or other professional advice. If those types of advice are requested or desired, we suggest you first of all, we strongly recommend or suggest that you talk to your current professional advisors in those arenas, CPA, lawyer, real estate mentor, etc., to get their take or their interpretation of what you thought you might have heard on our show or other shows, to make sure that, one, it's correct, and two, it's relevant to your facts and circumstances. For those of you that don't have advisors that can consult with you in the things we speak about, real estate taxation, real estate private partnership syndication involving typically multifamily assets. And for those of you that are moving towards retirement, which are most of our listeners, the concept of being in a zero tax rate paradigm is something that's incredibly advantageous when you look at several issues. One is just generally the rest of your life, the income that you have to earn to make it to your life expectancy, whatever you think that is. I'll tell you what the IRS thinks it is, and it usually takes people by surprise. It's 85 to 86 for males like myself, and it's, can we still say that, or do we have to be, it's Facebook. I'm sorry. It's Facebook that's not going to let us say the truth about one's gender. But anyway, there are still male and female, and I don't know how much longer it'll be in the IRS publications and tables. I guess they're going to have to add some more columns, right, if they can't say male and female. But in any event, males are 85 to 86-year-old life expectancy currently. Females are 87 to 88. So for you 35-year-olds out there, you got a long runway to get there. And, you know, the amount of money that you need to amass, $1 million is no longer it no longer much matters. You know, used to, people would say, well, I've got $1 million in my 401, I'm okay, right? And at one point, way back when, I know when I first started my CPA practice, and by the way, I am a CPA. I am not an investment advisor. I'm not a broker. I don't sell things. I don't recommend specific projects or specific syndicators, sponsors, lead partners. We analyze. We help you understand the math on whatever you're signing up for. And, you know, in doing so, we at least hope we're tilting the deck a little bit to make it more likely that the math conforms to your objectives. Now, the math conforming and actual reality are two different things, and you got to be clear, or we have to be clear, you know, we're not a magician, we're not a soothsayer, we don't have a magic wand, we don't have a crystal ball, but we have a calculator, and we have a spreadsheet. And we understand, most importantly, we understand the math, the metrics, if you will, that private placement memorandums involving multifamily real estate, that's our bailiwick. And we understand the language. We understand what is being said, and we understand what's not being said. And we will help you dig deeper and try to make sure that you're not stepping off a ledge right at the get-go. You know, we're not able to, you know, confirm every detail, but we know how to look at equity multiples and internal rates of return and average rental growth rates and assorted other issues, some issues involving the tax treatment of investments, and we can call it out if it doesn't line up. And if someone's not considering the absorption rate in a given submarket, or, you know, they're looking at Houston generally, or Austin, or Phoenix, or San Diego just generally, and they're not drilling down to the, I guess you could say, the neighborhood, just to get your focus correct. You want to look at the particular area statistics, the submarkets, and try to make sure that appropriate variables are being deployed for that project. Because the way the math works in a multifamily project, there are a lot of ways to hide or blur, if you will, the pro forma math to make things look like they're on their way to success, and may or may not be right from the get-go. So we try to help you understand what you're signing up for, what to expect, And in doing so, we think you've got a better chance for ultimately for success. But in any event, let's go to our news page. I finally had time to get some articles up that I've been lacking as of late. It's been busy. Here, as I am in America for several months, I've come back from Southeast Asia. I miss it greatly. I'd prefer to be there, and many of you would prefer to be there if you only knew. And yesterday, I had a prospect visit with me here in San Antonio that is from Ethiopia. Grew up here pretty much. He's a real estate investor, and not just real estate. He also has invested in things like washaterias and some other businesses, and appears to be successful. You know, these days one never knows, but he wasn't driving a Lamborghini, which is what a real red flag for me is when these investors or syndicators, anyone really, that, you know, is trying to make a statement with some of their material goods, that's just a huge red flag for me. And anyway, he is in properties in, you know, West Coast, LA, and South Carolina, you know, on the opposite side of the map, and had some really interesting insights on how, you know, the markets vary. And you know, I don't have, believe it or not, most of our clients come from Texas, so, you know, the aberration is what we remember. You know, if you've ever looked at I remember I read the book The Purple Cow, I believe it was called, by Seth Golden. He's a marketing guru, and the gist of that book was, hey, you want to be a little bit different than the next guy or your competitors, so, because the way our memories are hardwired, we remember the different items. So, you know, if your name is John, I'm sorry, you know, it's going to be hard for people to remember you, unless you've got a unique last name maybe. But if it's you know, something that's more intriguing, I can't think of an example right off the top of my head, but you remember folks that have a little bit, you're more likely, I should say, to remember folks that have a more interesting name. But and the shorter the better. I, you know, in Thailand, I've never seen names that were so long. And when I ask someone their name and they come back with, you know, a 40-character word, I say, okay, what's your nickname? And if that's still too difficult, if let's say the name starts with a D, then I'm going to say, well, okay, I'm going to call you D, because I can remember that one. It's unique enough, and it's something my old tired memory bank understands. Let's go ahead, since we're coming up to a break spot, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more giving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Like this song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I wanted to remind you, I think the commercial just played that said, if you want to reach me, you can text me at 713-581-0195. And I likely won't discuss your question or issue on the air unless it's really spot on in terms of the current show's content, but I will definitely circle back to you probably later today, even depending on when you're hearing this. We are recording live in Houston on Friday, September 20th. Show started at 11 a.m. So if you're getting this in California or elsewhere, I think our show comes on Tuesdays out there, if I'm not mistaken. But in any event, you can play all of our prior episodes and this one later today from our website. If you go to beaplanner.com and go to the show, I believe is the link on that site. We've got two sites, beaplanner.com and beaplannershow.com, and they are kind of working in tandem, so you can get to the podcast page from either site. Just keep clicking. It takes a little longer if you go the BeAPlannerShow.com option. But in any event, we were just talking about some of the current news, and you know, I'm going to go down the list of articles. The one I want to talk about the last two involve the current market and the increasing level of multifamily distress. And I found a transaction that has been on the market just recently, I believe. I can't remember when I first saw this, but I think it's been within the last couple of weeks. It's already fully funded, but there is a wait list. And so any of you that might be interested in that, you can connect with me and we can talk about engaging as a client, and be happy to tell you more about it and take a look at it again for your facts and circumstances. I mean, just because we talk about some of these transactions on the show from time to time, it doesn't mean, they may be a great fit for 10 people and it may be a horrible fit for you. It depends on what your investment objectives are. Are you in retirement? Do you need your funds to be generating current cash flows instead of future cash flows? I know I've invested in a transaction that doesn't have one distribution planned until the five-year mark, when we theoretically are going to exit. And so if I needed that money to live in retirement right now, that's not a good fit for me. It may be a marvelous fit. Well, it is a marvelous fit for me because I'm young enough where I'm still working and still generating current cash flows. And that's just one example. There's other examples as to why a transaction, it might have certain features involving the overall project where you look at it and you just say, you know, it looks like it could be great for a lot of people, but not for me. So anyway, let's take a look at the first article on the news page. This is the BA Planner Show .com site, and it is the Fed. Let's see here. Let me get that page back up here. The Fed rate cut opens unique window of opportunity for investors. And let's dig in just a little bit, go through that article, and see what some of those opportunities are. Let's see. Okay, with the Fed cutting interest rates by half a point this week and more cuts expected before the end of the year, the next 50 days could be a unique window of opportunity where the math, that's what we're about, is the math, aligns particularly well for investors, according to Marcus and Millichap's National Director of Research and Advisory Services, a Mr. John Chang. Now, never forget that a Mr. John Chang working for Marcus and Millichap is not necessarily your friend, okay? He's selling, and he's selling, in this case, multifamily investments. Somewhere along the line, he's connected to those sales hounds, I'm going to call them, the bloodhounds, that are looking for people to buy something that they're representing, most likely, or want to represent. So just take it in context. It's good that we have these kind of articles, especially when they relate to an event certain that's occurred, like this rate cut. Okay, that shows you some people are awake, you know, they're paying attention, and now they've translated that rate cut. Even though it's a small amount of money, it's enough to move markets, and that's what is getting ready to happen. Investors, buyers, and sellers, all three categories, may be working with a relatively narrow window where cap rates and interest rates align to clear the market, quote unquote. I'm going to say it again. Investors, buyers, and sellers, that's pretty much everybody, in the commercial multifamily space, may be working with a relatively narrow window where cap rates and interest rates align to clear the market. And what he's suggesting is the deep freeze that the multifamily market has been in because the interest rates kind of shot up fairly quickly, it caused the cap rates to move up considerably as well. And even though I'm going to have some other professionals, real estate professionals, say, well, you know, Nathan, the interest rate doesn't directly connect to cap rates. Okay, I've heard that many times in my career. Why isn't the cap rate still 3.5? I'm just curious. You know, why are we up in the, I don't know, you could say the 6-7% market? It's because they may not be direct, they may not move in concert, but they definitely move, not even tangentially. They move indirectly. I mean, it's definitely a relationship that has more than just tangential connection. But anyway, Chang goes on to say, Mr. Chang, I'm not saying the positive momentum won't carry through to 2025. It very well might, but some uncertainty does cloud the outlook from November 5th through January 20. That's the span between the election and inauguration day. And so, again, I'm going to suggest that statement is more designed to get you to take action than reality. I'm not sure. Are people not going to lay their head down at night and sleep between November 5th and January 20th? I mean, you know, let's be real. How the one of the benefits, the beauty of why we like multifamily, it's a fairly simple concept, is that unlike office, which is in deep, deep trouble, you don't necessarily need an office in a third-party location. The pandemic, if you didn't already know that, I knew it. I've been working remotely for, let's see, since 2006, what's that, 18 years, halfway around the world. And, you know, I never understood with the technology that developed between 2006 and 2024, you know, from when I first started going to Southeast Asia, you know, Gmail had just become a thing back then, just to put it in perspective. And as an early invitee to use Gmail, boy, I took advantage of it. And I went from where I was more worried about which thumb drive I'd save some work data on, so I'd make sure I had it to do some work when I was overseas. I know many of you are thinking, how could you go to a place like Thailand and be worried about getting work done? Well, you know, there's trade-offs. You know, it's not all lollipops and roses, I guess, as the expression goes, or maybe I just made that one up. I'm not sure. But in any event, I went from that perspective to where I don't even think about it now. I get on a plane in Houston or San Antonio or you know, wherever I'm at. I've left from several gateway cities to go back, San Jose, anywhere United or ANA airline. That's all Nippon or Nippon, depending on your accent, your Texas accent, to go back across the pond, let's say, to Tokyo and then on to Bangkok. And ANA, just as an aside, I remember I was on a flight once out of Houston headed back to Bangkok, and I had the good fortune of having Mr. Gordon Bethune sit right next to me on the plane. And it was a plane, and this has, by the way, this little diversion, it's intentional. I'm fully cognizant it has nothing to do with real estate. But I'm still going to talk about it because it was one of the best experiences, just, you know, purely coincidental. And Mr. Bethune, several things, one of the most humble people you'll ever meet. You know, I had already, been seated on the plane. You know, we were up front, had an upgrade. And he walked in and sat down right across the aisle from me. But, you know, on a 737-800, any of you that have flown that aircraft know how close it is. And two things, he's incredibly humble. And that plane was the last plane program that he headed up when he was at Boeing. Back in the good old days, back when Boeing made their own planes or developed and manufactured their own planes. And he shared with me a little bit about how he was tasked with coming up with an aircraft that set so many people, you know, a number. The CEO, I believe at that time, was Phil Condit, and he told Gordon. Gordon was one of the top three folks, Alan McAnally, who went on to be the CEO at Ford, and I forget the third guy. I think he was the one that actually got the CEO post next after Conduit retired. But Gordon was given the opportunity to run Continental. He thought Boeing would be in good hands with any of those three guys, and so he took the challenge. But anyway, he told me that the aircraft, he, you know, when he was tasked with that, when Phil, the CEO, told him, hey, this is what I need you to develop or to come up with, he said, well, great, where are we going to buy those? Because what he was asking for at the time was very difficult, and there apparently wasn't any other aircraft that fit that niche, which is why, you know, Boeing wanted to fill it. But in any event, I had a great chat that day. But the reason I was bringing this up at all is I mentioned ANA. And ANA is a Japanese carrier that most people I talk to have never heard of, which I don't, well, in my world, I don't understand it because I fly it often. I prefer it. You know, it's like I book on United because I can get the ANA flight. They code share, and most of the time nowadays, since ANA has, I believe, 8 or 9 gateways in the U.S., including IAH in Houston, it's just easy to get their aircraft and their flight crew, which is a big deal. And I've got some wonderful clients that are pilots United, and I like certain things about United. They got a great website. They answer the phone before the third ring. It's incredible, and I never understood the big squawk in Houston when United either merged or acquired, whatever you want to call it, Continental, because, boy, I had sat on Hoda as a platinum elite on Continental. I lost count of the number of times I held for 45 minutes to an hour before I got to speak to somebody, and I just, you know, I had no negative thoughts at all about United, at least back then, but that was before I understood the Asian way of flight crew, you know, including the attendants. And boy, is there a difference. And I sometimes, when I walk onto a United plane these days and I see a friendly face in the flight attendant group, I'll say, hey, could you do me a favor and just cuss at me for, I don't know, 5 minutes so I can remember what it's like? Because these Asian airlines are just spoiling me as to how humble they are, and anything that I might need, they'll make it a group project if they need to, and never reject any request. And it's palpable, the difference. And again, I like a lot of things about United. I like the gray-haired pilots that come out of that cockpit at the after the 10,000-mile ding, you know, when you've gone up, I'm sorry, 10,000 feet ding, the little bell, and maybe they're going to take a toilet break or grab some coffee or whatever. But I like seeing that experience. Yeah, those guys were the ones that flew in Vietnam. In many cases, they know what to worry about in life, and that's who I want guiding my aircraft. And just in case anybody at United is within the sound of my voice, I don't want or care about your DEI new training center. I want, if a DEI applicant or attendee they're getting trained is the most qualified pilot to fly my aircraft, great. Let's let that be a corollary qualification. Let's not make it the main focus, because I want somebody, whether it's just a figure of speech or whether it's in real practice, which I like the real stuff, I want somebody that knows what to worry about in life. And if you've been shot at an airplane, I'm going to figure you're a step ahead of somebody that's never had military service. And I understand we were getting out of the range of that age group. Now I suspect we're right back in it. For sure, if you're going to fly an Israeli airline, I know they've got a lot of battle-tested pilots. But anyway, so I deviate. But anyway, so to wrap the little Gordon Bethune story up, so at one point we got off onto ANA as being United's code share. And of course, some of you probably realize Gordon Bethune, and this was like pre-COVID, he was consulting still in the airline business, and he said, ANA, you know, ANA. I told him, what kind of name is that? How is anybody going to remember you with ANA? And I'll guarantee you there's more people that remember ANA than all Nippon, or Nippon, however you say it, airlines. You know, I've got, when I think of Nippon or Nippon, and I'm not sure which is correct, I say Nippon, but, you know, many of my clients will ask me, well, how did you learn about Taiwan? Yeah, it's the Texas clients now. And it's amazing how many, and I'm guilty as well. If you get me out of that area of the world, my geography is bad. It's Thailand, not Taiwan. And the biggest difference is Taiwan is wanted, let's put it that way, they're a wanted party by China. And I would suggest sometime in the next year, maybe sooner, you may see more evidence of that. The Chinese are doing 20 or 30 flights a day now through the Taiwan airspace, I believe, or waterway space. But no, Thailand is the one that's never, it's one of the few countries in Southeast Asia that's never been colonized. And it is a wonderful place to live. It costs about 30% to live good compared to the U.S. It doesn't have any OSHA, any EEOC. It's not woke like America is. It's the home of transgender. They've developed transgender, but you don't ever hear about it. Nobody wants special rules, and nobody wants special day-to-day, you know, hiring practices or bathrooms. I remember when the discussion, what, 5-6 years ago, was about having to have a third bathroom type for the trans or the, well, all the LGBTQ stuff. You never hear it brought up in Thailand. And I asked my wife when the bathroom discussion was going on and NCAA was canceling Atlanta, and it was in that time frame. And I said, how come I never hear anything about this in Thailand? What's the rule? She goes, it's very simple. And the Thai, I've said before, are very practical people. And she said, you use the one you have the equipment for. It's that simple. And she said, we never have anybody raped in a bathroom. We've never had the stuff that America obsesses about. And truthfully, we do have a perverted society, much more so than the Thai. And I'm not saying there's not some Hangover 2. You may recall the movie back in the day that was shot in Bangkok. I'm not saying that that element doesn't exist. I'm just saying the Thai people kind of live and let live. And what I've learned, what it's showed me in life, is that the more you complain about something or the more you draw attention to it, then, and of course the LGBTQ movement understands this. That's why such a minority of people can control the majority in some cases. You know, we have month-long holidays for the rainbow folks. And I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with that. It's just, why do we do it? Why do we, where's our month as non-rainbow folks? And I don't feel the need for it. I don't feel compelled to demand that everybody pay attention to my lifestyle. And I don't want to pay attention to yours. And I don't want to be blocked by it every time I decide I want to do something. And, oh, well, we didn't hire enough of X this month or Y. But anyway, it's still the best country in the world, unless you have a choice, like I do, and I'll take Thailand any day of the week. And if it wasn't for their new tax law, I'd be over there right now, and I will be back there once I've satisfied my 186-day non-resident status in Thailand this year. But anyway, I won't meander again today. Let's go ahead and take our last break. We'll be back momentarily, and I'm going to talk about a distressed deal that I found, I mentioned a few minutes ago. Let's just run through that real quick so you can understand what's coming. There's going to be a lot of these deals coming here right away. Thank you for listening today, and we'll return momentarily to more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com. nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I mentioned earlier in the show the concept of the multifamily market and the distress that we're currently seeing, and how it's going to get, it's going to be heightened even more distress over the next year and a half. And so coincidentally, I had a deal come across my desk this week, or my screen, I guess I should say, and it just illustrates the kind of transactions that I there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to see a bunch of these. And this is a project, let's see, it's in El Paso. It's being acquired at $76,000 a door, which is, you know, it's all relative, but it seems like it's a very attractive price. They note that they've got a going-in cap rate of approximately 8%. And I'm going to look here if we can find it as we go through it as to what the interest rate is on their debt, but I'm pretty sure this group is not a newbie. They've been to the finish line many times, and I'd be willing to bet you they're borrowing money at, I don't know, no more than probably 80-85% of that cap rate. And of course, the cap rate is essentially, I'm giving you just a high level definition, it's the rents divided by the acquisition price. So but anyway, they define a they say this property is part of a distressed sell, and they define distressed sell as they say the seller is facing the maturity of a floating rate bridge loan. Did you hear that? That's what we've been talking about for at least 2 years now, as to how there's not enough lenders around that are going to be willing to refinance those transactions when they come due, you know, third year for refinancing. And they may not be willing to extend them. You know, most of these three-year bridge loans have 2 1-year extensions that you pay a percent for, 1% typically. But the lenders still can veto it and say, no, I'm not going to do it because you're too much of a risk. You haven't executed your business plan, you know, et cetera. I mean, there's a number of reasons. But in any event, let me say it again. This is a distressed sale. The seller is facing the maturity of a floating rate bridge loan, and is in a forced sell, quote unquote, forced sell scenario, which means they are willing to transact at the existing loan balance and at a notable equity loss. And there are quality syndicators, people that are not criminals. There are some criminals out there. This is apparently, I don't know who the seller was, but the fact that they can sell it at all and get out of the loan, it would kind of put them near the top of the syndicator pack. That shows they have some credibility, at least. And it's sad and it's unfortunate that their investors are going to lose. It would appear they're losing all their capital, but who knows? Because I know I've seen deals where, you know, somebody was able to sell, and yeah, it's not pleasant, but maybe they got 40% or 60% of the capital, the original capital, back. But anyway, this is done by a 5X repeat sponsor with a $1 billion track record, extensive acquisition and operational experience, with a track record of over 11,000 units spanning nearly $1.3 billion in total transaction volume, of which 1,800 plus are in the El Paso market. In any event, they've got a de-risk, that's ED on the end, I'm not sure how, is it de-risked, business plan. With a going-in cap rate of 8.15%, the property is being acquired at a notable discount relative to market comps. The sponsor's de-risk, there's the term again, business plan mirrors operations to their own nearby and well-performing properties while using an estimated $862,000 CapEx budget to address moderate physical improvements. The sponsor is targeting a 3-year hold, and this is something to watch for. You know, some of these assets, they don't need the heavy lifting on renovation, and they're somewhat occupied. I'm not sure what the percentage is. We'll probably see it here in a minute. They're going to have the ability to get in and get out faster than if you're buying a beat up old property that you're going to have to spend millions to renovate and bring it up to market. The sponsor is a vertically integrated asset manager as the property manager as well, and will replicate the program used at the firm's other El Paso assets to provide for continued occupancy. So again, I don't know what percentage they're currently occupied, but they're not empty. And it's got stable economic drivers involved. There's, you know, El Paso's got a big health care sector, and they're close to, I guess, the Tenet Health conglomerate, major employer. Education's another key factor. Employs 38,000 people. Tenet employs 40,000. UTEP, the University of Texas, El Paso, and El Paso Community College are also big drivers to that area economically. Centrally located in El Paso, it's close to a mall and many surrounding retail establishments along the I-10 corridor there. Close to the airport and relatively close to downtown. I think it's about 9 or 10 miles. El Paso, they point out in this summary, and again, you got to think more than just El Paso, which they've done. They've kind of defined the submarket that they're in. The El Paso generally, the multifamily market is strong, and stable demand with a 95.1% average occupancy rate. That tells me they have had some high, well, yeah, in fact, it says it here in the next sentence. The 95% occupancy rate is driven by a small construction pipeline. So they haven't built, you know, tens of thousands of units, and they have a high net absorption of the units available. Rent growth, and this is, you know, this shows a strong market there. It's expected to continue at 2.6%. 2.6% a year rental growth, that's nearly triple the national average. While home ownership in the submarket there equally remains out of reach. So it's the perfect alignment we've been talking about, where in most large cities, it's going to be cheaper to rent a high-class apartment than buy. And anyway, in that submarket, the average mortgage cost 43% of monthly income compared to 25% rent. And that's what we're faced with everywhere. And that, folks, is why the multifamily market is a strong investment alternative, still strong investment alternative. And again, El Paso is stronger in many respects than Dallas or Houston. Dallas and Houston, San Antonio, they're all sitting on a huge supply of empty units that have just come into the market, and the absorption rate has slowed dramatically. They've got too many units for the amount of inflow they've got in terms of tenant prospects. But in any event, I'm going to stop it there. We could talk more about this. In fact, we may next week. But for those of you that might want to consider having someone like us shadow you on analyzing these types of investments, helping you understand what you're signing up for and trying to avoid surprises, negative surprises, feel free to reach out to us. Again, 713-581-0195 is the best way to reach me. That'll be by text. And if you've got questions or you want to have us potentially work with you, I would urge you to go to our forms link on the baplannershow.com or the baplanner.com site and fill out at least the first form, step one, form one, client profile, and I'll be happy to spend some time on the phone with you once I get that to figure out how we might sync up with your goals and objectives. Thank you for tuning in. We will return with our Cybersecurity Sunday show. I've got a cybersecurity expert. We're going to talk about the exploding pagers and walkie-talkies and how that got pulled off. It's quite a story, and we'll pick up with that Sunday morning, 7 a.m. right here on AM 700. Thank you.